So I want you, if you have a copy of the Bible, to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And maybe we could just pray before we read Scripture together. And I want to invite you to pray for yourself, that the Lord would speak to your heart as we read Scripture. That's very important, that your posture is one of openness to the Lord. And the people that you've been hearing coming to Wesley for prayer, they were motivated, some of them anyway, they were motivated to get help. And that's interesting. We'll see that even tonight in the story we're going to read. That's important. And so you could sit there passively and think, well, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. But, you know, he does look for hunger in our hearts and a desire after him. So why not say, Lord, please, even if you're skeptical, that's okay. His shoulders are big enough for that. But why not even say, Lord, if you're there, if you're even there, if you're even interested, Lord, would you speak? Would you reveal yourself to me? So let's pray. Father, we just want to praise your name. We've been doing it in our song. And we thank you for the psalm that says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And we want to use our breath, our God-given breath, to praise you tonight, to lift you up, to exalt you. For you alone are worthy, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we thank you that you're here now at this moment. And we praise you that you're already at work. And you've inhabited the praise and the testimony of Jesus has been presented, and there's power in that. And every one of those miracles that Wesley has relayed has represented the power of God again from those miracles. And we pray that people will be even reaching out before I preach or before anyone prays for them and receive the power of God into themselves. But Lord, we're looking for more right now as we come to your word. We pray for help. Holy Spirit, who inspired these words, we pray that you'll use them now in people's personal lives. Lord, we need you and we thank you that you're with us and we're excited about what you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to you about when Jesus passes by. And it's verse 35 of Luke chapter 18. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Amen. Now, we know this man as Bartimaeus, or blind Bartimaeus, from Mark's Gospel. He actually names him, whereas Luke doesn't. But actually, Matthew in his Gospel talks about two men. Seems to be the same incident. Talks about two blind men that Jesus healed, but Mark and Luke only talk about one. Now, I'm not here to give you the answers to everything, but probably the explanation for this is just people's different perspectives. And that's often the way life is, isn't it? And it certainly is the way life in God can be. And you've heard testimony or a witness report of what God has done in some people's lives through healing. But maybe those people, if they told their own story, would put a different slant on it than Wesley did. And it's just different perspectives. And it might be that Bartimaeus just was louder than the other fella, and he gets the limelight in this story. But also another explanation of it is there were two Jerichos, believe it or not, at this time when Jesus was alive. There was the old ruined city that we know of in the Old Testament, And then very close to it, there was a new Jericho. And some believe, because Matthew mentions that the healing happened when Jesus was leaving Jericho, and another gospel says when he was entering Jericho. So it might have been he was leaving the old Jericho and going into the new Jericho. I'm just explaining that for some people that might know there's a conundrum there. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that people were healed. And it was evident, and it was evident to the whole of the society and the people that knew him. And what I do want to emphasize, and this is what's significant to me about Jericho, is that Jericho was on the way to Jerusalem and Jesus was going there to die. Okay, this was Jesus' journey to his death. And he died for us. He died for you. For the wrong that we've all done, for the sin, for the brokenness, the shameful things in our lives. He died for that and he took it on himself. And actually the Bible tells us that there was absolutely nothing that could stop Jesus going to the cross. He actually set his face like a flint, it says, determined to go to Calvary, and yet he stopped on the way there for a blind beggar. Didn't that tell you everything? He's just beautiful. A wonderful Savior. And in verse 36, it says, when the blind man heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. Now, blind people can hear. Isn't that good? And unbelieving people, I mean people that don't know Jesus, and you might be one of them here tonight, still can receive God in ways. And I think this is important, especially if the Christians here tonight, to realize this. Unbelievers may not completely understand everything they need to understand about God, but they can pick up more than you realize. And in fact, a blind person's sense of hearing can be more acute than other people's. It's magnified because the absence of their sight sense, their hearing sense, is heightened. But what I want you to see is, he could not see, but he could hear. And he didn't let his inability to see dissuade him or discouraging him from doing what he could do to seek Jesus. And you might be here tonight and you don't understand everything about what you've heard, about healing, about the good news of the gospel. But I want to encourage you tonight. Blind Bartimaeus sought Jesus how he could with his hearing. And I don't know what you've got, but use it. And use it to seek after the Lord while he can be found. It might be questions that you have. And believers, I'm addressing you now. People are full of questions. And there's very few people willing to answer them. And that's an evangelistic opportunity right there. You can help people. You might have all the answers, but you can pray and you can say, look, I'll go away and look this up and find it out. But people are busting at the moment with questions about eternal things and spiritual realities. Verse 37, he's asking the crowd going by what's happening, and they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Now this really interests me, because it's a bit like the presence of God as a doctrine, which is probably my most favorite theme in the whole world. And there's a sense in which God is always present. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. Psalm 139 says you can't even go to hell and escape God. Even there, he's in the depths. And we sang tonight, we want to usher in your presence. And in a way, that's a bit of a contradiction to that idea of God being everywhere. And yet it's also true, because there are certain senses of God's presence that we can usher in when we welcome him with our prayer and our praise. So both are true. It sounds almost contradictory, but it's just two different perspectives of the one reality. And it's the same in the sense of Jesus passing by. Jesus is always passing by. Do you know what I mean? We all can reach out at any time and touch him and believe in him and receive his salvation. But there are certain times that there are indications that he is nearer to us. That sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. I maybe put it like this. There are certain ways He manifests his presence to us because he wants us to know that he's near. It's almost like he breaks in upon our senses, our abilities to perceive. Almost physically, he makes us aware that he is there. Even though he's always there, he's always passing by, he comes strangely near. The ancient Celtic Christians used to call places where that was happening thin places, where there was just like a very spiritual paper-like veil between here and the eternal realm, a bit like dimensions. If you know anything about quantum physics, which I know very little about, but I know it's very fascinating in the respect of they're now talking about dimensions. There's several dimensions of reality, and in theory you could step from one to the other. And I think that's more like the spiritual realm. It's not we kind of shoot up hundreds of thousands of miles into the sky and we reach heaven, but it's more likely the case that heaven, at least as an eternal dimension, is right here and now. And if we could just step into it, we would know it. Didn't mean to go into all that. But healing meetings can be like that. Where Jesus of Nazareth passes by. There's an increased sense of expectation from stories like we heard tonight. From your need and desperation in the condition that you might have this evening and the desire that the Lord would touch you. And so in a moment, at a time, a place like this, there is a proximity of the presence of God, a special sense of his immediacy, his nearness, where he's coming more to our consciousness and he's manifesting his closeness. I hope some of you already sense that. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. In verse 39, those who led the way rebuked him. Don't you love this? And it's often those who appear to be following Jesus who hinder the needy and the hungry. The crowd around him get in the way. Isn't it fascinating that they were against his questions? And very often the crowd around Jesus are against spiritual questioning or inquisitiveness. I love what Frederick Buechner once said, to be wise is to be eternally curious. I am very curious. Sometimes not about good things. But hopefully when I channel it into the good things and the kingdom of God and the eternal realm and all that, I have just so many questions. I hope you've got questions. Loads of questions. And I don't mean from the vantage point of doubt and unbelief. That's what I'm talking about. But if you can't read the Bible and not have questions, and if you don't have questions, you're not reading it. Or you're not reading it right. And we've got to leave room in our churches for questions. And questions to be honestly faced and answered. Because one of the marks of dead religion and institutionalism, Jesus said of the Pharisees in Matthew 23:13, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying." They're not going in themselves, but they're going to get in the way of those who have questions, genuine questions in their heart. Hopefully we're not like that. But I love this in verse 39 again, the second half. They told him to shut up and he shouted all the more. William Barclay, the commentator, points out that there's a different Greek word used in verse 38 for he called out to the words in verse 39, he called out all the more. And the first in verse 38 is an ordinary shout to attract attention. But in verse 39, he describes it, shouted all the more in the original language, as the instinctive cry of an ungovernable emotion, a scream, an almost animal-like cry. Can you imagine that? One moment it's, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Shut up. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." In fact, the Greek literally It's translated, he kept crying out. He kept. That's persistence. That's determination. Perseverance. And you know, it's interesting, in this very chapter, in verse 1, the very first verse of chapter 18 of Luke, it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And he tells them the parable of the persistent widow and the judge that she was going to neither feared God or cared about anyone. But she came over and over again and gave him no rest. She refused to be refused. And then Jesus' conclusion was, will God not bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. We give up far too quickly. And some of you, if God doesn't answer your prayer at the first breath of it, that's it. Right, we'll go to the doctor then. And I'm not against going to the doctor. I go to the doctor. But what I'm trying to say is, you need what that widow woman had. And you need what blind Bartimaeus had. That the more discouragements come your way, and the more the symptoms seem to manifest, you need to be more determined to cry out all the more. And keep on crying until the prayer's answered. Verse 40, Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And he came near to Jesus. That is my desire in all of my life. That Jesus will stop and call for me. Do you know what I'm talking about? In a sense, I know he has stopped and called for me. He's always stopping and calling for me. But again, going back to this kind of conundrum, this seeming contrast, that he's always there for me. But when I call out to him, that I would know that he is actually before me and he is welcoming me to himself. And what was the thing that brought Jesus to stop before blind Bartimaeus and order the man to come to him? It was the beggar's cry. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And it's interesting to note that to the crowd, when Bartimaeus said, what's going on? What's the commotion? They said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He was only Jesus of Nazareth to the crowd. But to the blind man who couldn't see, whom they despised as lesser, he knew he was the son of David. He knew that he was David's greater son, which is the Messiah. And he knew that the prophets of the Old Testament said that one of the signs that Messiah would come was he would give sight to the blind. Now, as I've said, Jesus is always passing by. But sometimes he comes strangely near. And I think he's doing that tonight. And if I maintain a posture of reaching out to him and crying out to him, he will stop for me. He will stop for you. And I will then be afforded the privilege of answering the question, verse 41, what do you want me to do for you? And he hasn't stopped asking that question. Now, don't misunderstand me. This is not like, you know, rubbing Aladdin's lamp. Three wishes and you just ask for anything you want and you get it. That's not what we're talking about here. There's a whole book that contains the will and the counsel of God. And there's a whole journey that we need to go on in respect of our heart's desires being molded to what God wants for us, not just what we want for ourselves. And who wouldn't want to live a life of complete health, wealth, prosperity, blessing, everything going well for you? You know what I mean? But it's not the American dream in the kingdom of God that we are presented in the Gospels. But when we are at a point of desperation and brokenness, when we are at our extremity, and we cry out to the Lord, we believe as he is. Here's the pattern. He is passing by. And as we cry out to him, he hears us and he brings us, he calls us to himself. And he brings us near to him and he gives us an invitation. What do you want me to do for you? And this is a special thing. When you sense him coming near and he draws you to himself and he asks you that question, it's a sequence of fellowship and prayer. Now, the answer seemed obvious, didn't it? The guy's blind. What do you want me to do for you? What do you think? It's sight. But you know something? What is obvious to others or even the Lord is not always obvious to us. What I mean by that is the thing that maybe you're coming for help for, it maybe isn't the thing that you most need help for. Wesley told about people that were healed, but they weren't saved yet. Now, thank God that lady got right with God. But you know what I'm saying? That's the biggest need that you have this evening. And if your mortality is weighing upon you because you've been given some kind of a diagnosis, it's tragic. The first and foremost thing you need to sort out is your relationship with God. But even those of us who know God and are coming for prayer, you know, take people who are constantly coming for deliverance, and I believe in deliverance, but I get sick sometimes with people constantly coming for deliverance and they need healing. They don't need deliverance. Well, they might need deliverance, but they need the healing first, and that's why the deliverance isn't complete. And then there are people coming for healing, and I believe in healing. Of course, I wouldn't be doing this meeting if I didn't. But some healing is not instantaneous, especially the healing of the heart. But they want an instantaneous healing because they don't want to have to put any work into it. And you know there's a difference between effort and earning? Did you know that? Earning, just as it says, is where you're worthy of something because of what you've done. None of us is worthy of anything of the gifts of God. But if we think there's no effort at times in Christianity, we're fooling ourselves. Mark chapter 10, verse 50, when he's telling the story of blind Bartimaeus, he says that Bartimaeus got up and he threw his cloak aside and he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. And that's what we need to do. We need to cast far from us the vestiges of our old identity. And for some of you, that's being labelled as a sick person. And it's my this and my that and my the other and my DLA. That's one that needs cast aside sometimes. But sometimes it's what someone has said over you. An identity that through abuse or curses, people abusing you verbally, emotionally, you've taken on that. And, oh, this is just me. Or I'm just an anxious person. Or I'm a little fragile. We need to cast those. If you want to be healed, we need to cast those things aside. Because his coat was actually a sign of him as a beggar. They would hold their coats out like that. He was throwing that away and saying, that's not me anymore. But some of us are holding tight to those things. And we can still be holding tight with one hand and yet looking as if with an open palm to God to receive the help and the healing that we need. We need to give it all up to God. And then it says, he received his sight. Verse 42, Jesus says, your faith has healed you. Now, what does that mean? Very plainly, and this is the explanation for Wesley and his ministry, God responds to faith. God responds to faith. And it says, your faith has healed you. And it's that word I've told you about before in the Greek language, sozo, which means saved, it means healed, it means delivered, it means made whole. It just about means everything that Jesus died so that we would receive. And it's faith that accesses that. It's not some special person, and I thank God for the gifts that Wesley has been used in, because there are people who are channels of particular gifts. And it's the power of God that heals us, as Wesley has rightly pointed, given glory to God. But the instrument of reception, the fulcrum that brings it to us, is our faith. To simply believe God, that to believe he is the healer, he is the deliverer, he is able, and on that basis, not even to ask him, but to believe. To believe. Now look at the result of this in verse 43. It says, Bartimaeus, immediately he received his sight, he followed Jesus. You know what that's called? Discipleship. He followed Jesus. Now, not everybody that gets healed follows Jesus, but you know that's what you ought to do. And if you've been healed in the past and you're not following Jesus, you need to follow him. And if you've been delivered, the reason why you keep needing delivered is you won't follow him. You know? This deliverance, and I believe in it, it's becoming a quick fix for a lot of Christians who are not prepared to follow through the narrow way and follow Jesus and lay everything down on the altar for him. And it says, everybody was praising God. All the people saw it. That's the testimony. And they all praised God. So there was discipleship, but there was also community impact. Everybody praise God. And that is what we need today. We need miracles that will change whole communities. And you see it in the book of Acts. You see a healing or a deliverance. And then a whole region comes to Jesus because of that miracle. That's what we need. And maybe it'll be yours tonight. Your miracle. That will turn your family around. Turn your street around. Your neighborhood. It even turned this country upside down. One miracle. Because Jesus is passing by and you call out to him in faith and he stops. He calls you near and he gives you the invitation. What do you want me to do for you? Let's pray. So the question hangs in the air. What do you want me to do for you, Jesus says. And that may not be a physical healing. Maybe something mental, emotional, maybe spiritual, maybe physical. But he's passing by. It may be your salvation. It may be restoration. You've grown cold in the faith. Someone gave a word to me earlier that they felt there was someone here that had gone so far away from God, but they needed to know tonight that God wants to bring them right back this evening, right back to his side. I received another word about someone these are all from other people, by the way, someone with a bad hand, a sore hand that needed healed. If that's you tonight, hear the invitation of the Lord. Come up for prayer afterwards. But just where we are right now, I want everyone in their hearts to answer that question. What do you want me to do for you? What is your deepest need? Now, there are requirements upon you. You have to get up from where you're at. You have to throw away some of the old coats, some of the things that are weighing you down and holding you back. And maybe that's why you're not getting through. I haven't all the answers, that's for sure. Definitely not. But I want to urge you tonight, while there is the proximity of his healing presence in this place, in this moment, cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, I thank you that you're here. You're very near. I thank you for your loving, gracious presence. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh God. And we would cry out above and beyond our unbelief. We would cry out above and beyond any religiosity or false doctrine or sense of embarrassment or etiquette or keeping up appearances. All that trash. We cry out above it all. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Lord Jesus, would you just stop in front of a pew here tonight? And would you manifest your power to lives that are broken and needy and sick and oppressed? Would you call them to yourself? And give them that invitation. Ask me. What do you want me to do? Ask me for it. Just ask me for it and believe. Believe for it. And your faith will make you well. Jesus is passing this way. Thank you, Jesus. And in the name and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, we declare the healing of the stripes, the wounds of Christ over this gathering, Jesus. Over the sick, over the infirm, over the broken, over the oppressed. We declare the healing that is in the cross. We declare the salvation and the freedom, the emancipation that there is, the liberty of the gospel. We declare it, the power that there is in the blood of Christ. We declare it. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in us, and we declare it over, and we command sickness to leave. We command disease and brokenness and affliction to go in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we welcome the healing life of Christ to restore, to heal, to make whole. Thank you, Jesus. Just breathe your holy life and your power. And your healing. May the river of life with the fruit at either bank for the healing of the nations flow through this room right now and flow through lives, flow through bodies, flow through minds, flow through souls and spirits. River of life. Come, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, after Joel leads us in a couple of more songs, the prayer team will be up here. And a very trusted people in twos. And we want you to avail of that. And come up. They can't counsel you. They haven't time to do that because it's usually a queue of people. But they will pray. And get the prayer. Just tell them what your need is and get the prayer. If you need to know Jesus as your Savior and you haven't already and you want to take that step, you can pray just now. You can say, Lord Jesus, save me now. Just where you are, just where you're sitting. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. And I want to be your disciple. And I want to have my sins forgiven. I want God to be my Father. And I want to follow you all the days of my life. Just do it now. And tell us you've done it. If you need help, if you're a backslider, you need help, stop someone, talk to someone, but don't leave tonight. Jesus is passing by and he's here to meet your need and to help you. Isn't he wonderful? Really?
Yes, he is.
He is wonderful. I know that our eyes would be open to see how wonderful he is, how beautiful he is.